You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome, everyone, to Episode 5 of the Amswell Championship Off-Road Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Smith, alongside Shane Stensny. And Shane, how's it going, buddy? Another episode going on in 2021. We've seen a lot of great racing already coming out of Crandon. Man, a lot of cars, a lot of great racing. And boy, Hester, he laid it down.
Yeah, Mike Hester had that big career win, number 100. Man, we're both of us are so lucky that we get to have the job that we have working in the booth. I mean, last year we got to have the race call for Kyle LeDuc's 100th career win. We get Hester's 100th career win. When the season ends, we get to be the first one to pronounce everyone champions. We kind of have the coolest job in off-road racing, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. It's so much fun. And reflecting on Kyle LeDuc's win at ERX, Hester did it at Crandon. Both phenomenal facilities. They're great speed tracks. I love watching them. You have to really drive ERX. And coming out of Crandon, we know there's high speed there. But Kyle LeDuc with that 100th win, he went on, and now he's looking at a buck 50. I know it's going to take a little bit of time. But Hester, look at the age difference between those two drivers and how much Kyle's already accomplished to how gratifying it is to see Hester get it.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Mike Hester here in just a couple minutes, but to talk a little bit more about Crandon rounds 3 and 4. First of all, we can't believe that the season's already 1/3 of the way done. But to talk a little bit more about Kyle LeDuc, he actually had the exact weekend that he needed in Crandon, picking up those two wins in Pro 4, trying to tighten that gap back up with CJ Greaves and the rest of the bunch.
Yeah, absolutely. It was crazy to see him bounce back that fast. I knew they could do that. Him and Trad and the whole team, it's not an easy gig, especially everything he has going on outside of Champ Off-Road. So a lot of great racing. Pro 4 is a great class to watch again. The truck counts are huge. And then we talk about Pro 2. You have Keegan Kincaid sweeping the weekend at Andigo. And then you come into Crandon, and he won the first day, but it was a different story the next.
Yeah, Ryan Beat, a guy that we've expected to see run up front all year, finally broke through, got that win. Also saw Ricky Gutierrez find the podium in round 4. He's another driver that, you know, kind of a young up-and-coming guy, but showed a ton of speed. And, you know, looking ahead to ERX this weekend, he ran really well there last year. He only ran a partial season in Champ Off-Road last year, but this is kind of what we expected to see. The podiums that you see at any given event are not going to be the same a couple of weeks later at the next event. We're going to see a lot of shuffling. We've talked about the depth of these fields, how much competition there is in all these classes. It's just nuts this year.
Yeah, we've said it multiple times. Like, at any given track, there's 8-10 trucks in each of the pro classes that can win at any given time. We've seen Jared Brooks bounce back at Crandon after having a slow start, normally winning just about every race he enters. And he came out and he took that cup victory, which really showed everyone, man, Jared Brooks, he really has his ducks in a row, if you ask me. He's ready to rock the rest of the season. And that's scary because you have the depth, like we said, Kyle Kleiman, Ryan Beat now has a win. I mean, you keep going down the ladder, Daly Penico, he's really showing some speed. So at any given time, man, we better sit back and buckle up and get ready for the rest of the year.
All right, and now joining us on the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil, fresh off career off-road racing win number 100 from Pro Buggy, it's Mike Hester. Mike, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us in the middle of a very busy week for you.
Yeah, hey guys, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the invite on.
You reached that incredible career milestone, 100 wins. That's extraordinary. Walk us through that entire race that put you over the triple-digit mark.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's been a long time in the making. You know, the first I got into off-road racing back in 1974 when I was still in high school, you know, and won my first race in 1977, you know, and so it's been a long, long journey. You know, the race at Crandon, it just, Crandon has been one of the tracks that we've come to for many, many years, and we've just never really done very good at Crandon. It's always, for whatever reason, you know, we've always been capable of running in the top five, but, you know, we've always, it's just crazy stuff has happened to Crandon over the years. Flat tires, you know, just one after another and just, you know, getting involved with other cars and stuff. So it's just been, it's really been like we thought we were jinxed at Crandon. But last year we got number 99 there. And so I was like, you know what, we can do this. We can actually win a race at Crandon. And then this year, as you guys know, we had a really rocky start to the season. You know, just I ended up flipping the car there in Anago and tore it up pretty bad, and got it all put back together, came to Crandon. The first day it was wet. We were actually running in third place. Mike made a little bit of a mistake in the Argonne corner there, and I got by him, and then I immediately got excited and was thinking about catching Steiny, and I got a little bit too far to the right, and I looped the car in the hairpin corner and ended up, I think, sixth or seventh in that race. And then the next day, you know, we had a good starting position because of the invert. And, again, the track conditions were not ideal, but they were looking pretty good by the time we got out there, since the trucks had ran a little bit earlier in the day. You know, the Pro 2s and Pro 4s got out there and pretty much cleaned the track off. So we actually had a really pretty decent track for the race. And, you know, they dropped the flag, and I had a really good start. Went into the first turn, and I saw Steiny come around the outside of me out there. But he got out into a little bit of the loose stuff, and it kind of sucked him to the outside. And I just had the perfect line. I never had to lift. And from that point on, it was really just trying to protect the lines and not make mistakes, you know. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I knew Mike was behind me the whole time. I knew at any point, you know, he's still out driving me into the gravel pit and into the hairpin. And so I knew those two corners I needed to use up as much of the track as I could and just try to run clean lines through those corners with no mistakes. And so I did kind of hold him up a little bit through those turns, but, you know, it worked out in the end. I really was hoping nobody was going to clean off the inside line there in the gravel pit. It stayed wet the whole race, and I knew if he went to the inside, it was probably not going to stick for him, which is exactly what happened. There's some drone footage of that pass, you know, that was pretty incredible. We actually did hit wheel to wheel there, but I had the momentum coming around the outside, you know, on the cushion. So it was very exciting for us to get 100 there. It's just been amazing.
In the moment, is that on your mind that, you know, you're about to reach 100, or is it just, are you so focused on just staying out front that you're not really thinking about it?
Yeah, you know, it really wasn't big on my mind. You know, once they drop the flag, I mean, it's kind of, I get into this race mode, you know, and it's all about trying to do as good as I can and, you know, pick off as many cars as possible and just, you know, run clean lines and try to stay out of trouble, you know. But I did that last lap there. You know, I don't know exactly what happened to Mike. I don't know if he spun or got sideways behind me, but I knew after I went through the Argonne and down the back straightaway, he had disappeared out of the mirror. So I knew that last half a lap, I just needed to not make any big mistakes and run clean. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm going to win number 100 right here at Crandon, man. I mean, it just really, it kind of hit me right then as I was coming into turn one. I was like, I can do this, you know. So it was pretty exciting, I got to tell you.
Hey, Mike, Brent Smith here.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, congrats. I just want to start off by saying congratulations to you and your whole team. That's just magnificent, 100 wins, let alone getting 20 wins, and you've got 100. So, I mean, that is a big accomplishment, and it's been fun to watch the years I've been announcing and all the way back as when me and Shane were kids watching from the fence. You know, it's pretty cool to see you guys just stay at it year after year, and the car counts are just amazing now, and to see – how much competition is in every class, it makes it really fun to watch.
It does. The racing overall has just picked up so much, you know, and the car numbers are just off the hook this year. You know, it really reminds me of some of the, you know, the back in the soda days, the car counts were just, you know, big car counts. And it's just great to watch all the classes. Fun to watch. And
You said on the podium after your win 100, and you've also told me in conversation that racing in the Midwest is really important to you, really meaningful. What is it about the Midwest that drives you to travel all the way from Orlando a handful of times every year?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's the competition, and it's the level of the competition and the racers that show up there. You know, Crandon, especially Labor Day weekend, you can always count on, you know, the best of everybody from the country showing up to run that race. You know, I mean, really, the Midwest is the home of short course racing as we know it, you know. And while the vast majority of the races I won in Florida, you know, I've always been super competitive in Florida. You know, we built a bunch of cars here in Florida for people. So we were heavily into the off-road racing here. And, you know, anytime we showed up the track, you know, the guys probably frowned because, you know, here in Florida, we kind of ruled the roost for forever, you know. But for us to go to the Midwest, it was a whole different league, you know. And for us to be able to come up there and to be able to run with those guys and to finish in the top 10 or even the top 5, you know, always felt like a huge accomplishment. And, you know, I didn't know we were so close. But we started looking back at the numbers. And actually my son-in-law had asked me, you know, one time, like, how many did have races that we actually won? And we finally went back and dug up all the data and the trophies and started looking at this and pulling it all together and realized we were pretty close. And so, I got to the point where I thought, you know what, we're going to try to put together some solid years in the Midwest and see what we can do and see if we can close out the last few races and try to get to 100. You know, that's been my goal for the last couple of years. So, you know, and again, to answer your question, the competition and the level of the racers in the Midwest is really second to none. You know, that's why we're there. The racing in Florida has been gone for a while, you know, just because of economics and, you know, Florida's big in the home market. So most of the tracks ended up closing and selling for that reason. So for us to go, we an off-road race, we have to go either to the West or we have to go to the Midwest to race. So the Midwest up there is definitely the place to be. And that's where you want to go and that's where you want to race, you know.
So, Mike, now that you've hit 100 wins, what's your goal? Are you good with 100 now, or do you want to keep going for a little while, or are you going to hang the hat up after this year?
You know, that's a tough question. I mean, I still, you know, I feel competitive when we're in the car and when we're on the track. You know, I'd like to get at least a couple of more years in if we can. Yeah, you know, the goal was definitely to get to 100. That was the big press, but, you know, hey, I'm looking for 101 now. You know, ERX has been really good to us. We've always run, you know, really well ever since we've been racing at ERX. And so I'm excited to be headed back to ERX. And, I'm excited to get through the season. You know, the points thing is tough. We really wanted to try to do good in points, but the way the points, is structured, if you have one bad race, it's really, really hard to make that up, you know, unless everybody has a bad race, you know. In Florida, what we did for a long time in Florida is we allowed everybody to drop one race, you know, whatever you had to drop one race. So whatever your worst race was, you dropped it. But you know, the points has been a little bit different up there. So we're going to try really hard. I mean, you know, we want to show up and we want to race and we want to have fun with the guys and have fun racing. So you're going to probably see me for at least a couple of years.
Good. That's good to hear.
So living in Orlando and commuting to the, I guess commuting is the best way to put it, for the last handful of years or decade plus that you've been coming to the Midwest full time. What are the logistics like to that? So where does your race car spend the off weekends? And, you know, especially right now we're in a period between Crandon where there's only one off weekend before we go to ERX this weekend. So what does that look like for you and your team?
Well, you know, if it weren't for Tom and Ruth Schwartzberg, we probably would not have been able to be as consistent at showing up, you know, and run full seasons for like the last five or six seasons. You know, I mean, Tom and Ruth Schwartzberg are just the heart and soul of racing in the Midwest, you know, and they have done so much to help us. I mean, Tom is our taxi driver to and from the airport, and he lets us, you know, keep our truck and trailer at his house there in West Bend. And, you know, it's just been a pleasure. You know, we met Tom and Ruth a long time ago, like a lot of people. And, you know, we talked in the Seafelts one time looking for a place to keep our trailer. And he said, hey, call Tom. So we did. And they were just eager to have us there. And it's just been a wonderful friendship. You know, we love them both to death. We do anything for them. It's just exciting for them to, you know, to help them get their car ready and to have them out to the track and still be able to come out. And, you know, he raced at Amigo, and he loves racing at the Crandon races. And so, again, if it weren't for the Schwartzbergs, you know, it would be really tough. But that's what we do. We leave the truck and trailer. We drive up the first race of the season, and then we leave the truck and trailer at their house, and we fly back and forth out of Milwaukee every time. So that's been the logistics, and it's been wonderful.
So, Mike, now that you say that you are kind of out of the points race, not saying totally out, but it's hard to bounce back, are you just going week in and week out now to just pick off wins?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always been about winning, right? I mean, you know, right. The attitude for us when we show up at the track is, you know, I mean, we're showing up there to race and to win races, you know, and that's the first mission, is to make sure the car is prepped and ready to go, and to do the best that we can on the track, you know. So yeah, I mean, we're looking to get the ERX and try to win. You know, well, it's funny, you know, the way the points work out each year, it's, you know, we'll see. We're just going to give it the best that we can and see what happens. You know, you never know, right?
Yeah, hey, if you win, the points will come to you, right?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, and the thing about, you know, off-road racing, I've always said this over the years, but, you know, it really takes a lot of luck to win consistently, you know, in off-road racing. You know, you're talking, especially in our class, it's open wheel cars. You know, a lot can go wrong really quickly, and it's 9 times out of 10 it's not intentional. You know, it's just you turn in at the wrong time, or somebody turns in at the wrong time, and you know, you make contact, and then you're kind of along for the ride. So we've been blessed with good luck over the years. You know, I've caused some issues for other people, you know, on tracks by turning in and, you know, not realizing they were, you know, going to take the same line, you know. And so, you know, I try to run as clean as possible. We do come a long ways. And so it's very important that we try to get through the races clean without a lot of damage, because, you know, repairs, the logistics for all of that is really tough when you know, you live in Florida and your car's in Wisconsin. So, you know, first and foremost, we try to get through the races without damage, and then, you know, do the best we can, you know, so.
Well, I hope you're the best of luck.
Well, I appreciate that very much, man. And we appreciate all the kind words you guys say. And I do have to straighten you out, though. You know, you guys always talk about us racing in the swamps down here. You know, we actually did have some really good racetracks, and they weren't always underwater. Even though I do have a lot of experience racing in the wet, so.
Yeah, all the old dogs down there in Florida that used to race in the Florida Off-Road Drivers Association, that I hope they know that's not a slight against them whatsoever, but colorful language for the broadcast is all that is.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it a lot, guys. It's very helpful when you guys, you know, talk about it. And we try to stay out there and compete, you know, and we'll continue to do that the rest of the season. Hopefully we can win a few more races this year. Looking forward to getting back to Bark River for sure. You know, that's been a good track.
So real quick before you go, like you said, you've done really well at ERX ever since short course off-road racing first landed there a handful of years ago. What is it about the track there at ERX that suits your style well, or is it just that you've had kind of good fortune all the way?
You know, the layout of the track is just a lot of fun, you know, and there are some distinct lines around that track, you know, and with the split lanes, you know, again, a lot of luck does come into that. One of our last wins there at ERX, I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, on the start of the race, we were doing the complete points inversion. So I was starting at the back and, we got up to that hairpin and made the corner, and the entire field took the outside lane and it left me the inside lane wide open. And so I literally went from about ninth place into third place on the very first lap, you know, just as a result of that. So, you know, I'd like to say, hey, we just, you know, we're great at that track, but again, a little bit of luck comes into play sometimes. And, you know, we just, we love going to ERX. The layout, the facility is just phenomenal, you know, and the guys do a really good job of prepping the track for us. And it's a fun track to run, so it's fun to go fast there.
Awesome. We look forward to seeing you there. Again, thank you very much for your time, especially in the middle of, like I said, such a busy week, especially for you and your team traveling all the way from Florida.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. Yeah, it's, we're looking forward to getting up there. We fly up Wednesday morning, and then we'll drive over, grab the truck and trailer, and drive. I think it's about a six-hour drive from Milwaukee over to ERX. So
yep.
We'll probably see all you guys at ERX on Thursday.
All right, well, safe travels, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it again.
All right, have a good one. Again, that was Mike Hester from Super Buggy. Again, 100 career wins. What a great accomplishment. And he's really becoming one of those people that have crossed over from not just being a driver, but into being, you know, what we'd call like an ambassador of off-road with guys like, you know, Scott Douglas, Kurt LeDuc, legends of the sport that have done so much to promote the sport and have supported it for so long.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. I've understood off-road racing my whole life. And the one thing you got to understand is, it's not easy to win. And when those guys throw down that many wins in a career, it's just awesome. I mean, you look back to Scott Taylor, look back Jeff Doerr, all the guys we watched growing up. And yeah, at the time it's like, oh man, Scott Taylor won today. But then when you look down in their career 20, 30 years later, you have guys like Mike Hester throwing 100 career victories in the bag. And that's just so awesome that we get to see it live and we get to call these races. And it's so emotional for us and for all these great racers.
Absolutely. And of course, one of our great sponsors behind the scenes is Amsoil, who also supports our podcast, Brent.
Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit Amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. Amsoil, run with us.
Thanks so much, Brent. And now we'll welcome our second guest to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil from 1600 Buggy. It is Tony Keepers. Tony, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Tony? Welcome to the show.
Going really well. Just had a nice 4th of July weekend, so doing good.
We're getting amped up for ERX coming up here in a couple days. How's things been going with the program?
Really well. We're sitting tight for first in points right now, so can't complain about the way the year's gone. Turns out we had a little bit of engine trouble after Crandon, so we had to swap motors this week, but we're all ready to go. We're loading the trailer tonight, getting ready to head on over. So
Going back to rounds 3 and 4 in Crandon, that's your hometown track. You grabbed a second and a fourth. Like you said, you came out tied with Fitz for the points lead. How great is it to do well in front of all your family and friends at the track where you grew up watching off-road racing?
Well, it means a lot, you know. As a kid, you watch these guys racing on the track, and they're your heroes. And, you know, it just can't help but think someday I want to be that guy that's up there being the hero. And so when you make it on the podium in front of all your family and friends in your hometown, it's really special. I was actually a little disappointed with the fourth place just being at home. It, you know, a guy shouldn't gripe about that, but it feels really cool to be up on the box at your home track for sure.
You know, like you said, you grew up watching your heroes. I'm assuming you're talking about guys like Jack Flannery, Jeff Kincaid, Faye, Al Fannin, guys from Crandon and Argonne. Was getting behind the wheel and racing yourself kind of a dream that you always had?
Yeah, for sure. You know, even through high school, you know, a lot of your friends at that age, everybody wants to party and stuff. And I was always the guy that just sat there and watched every race. And actually, I'm pretty blessed because one of my favorite drivers, even as a kid, was Mark Steinhardt. And, you know, to wind up being working with him all the time, racing his old car, and it's pretty incredible. You know, I was always attracted to buggies as a kid, and now being in it, you know, I'm one step away from being in the super buggy someday, and that's my ultimate dream, is to race one of those things. So it's, you know, it's really cool that one of my heroes as a kid, Mark Steinhardt, has been a huge part of my racing career. So cool.
I have to tell you, it makes my heart feel really good that you're a buggy dork just like me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of us, but.
So Tony, you're talking about running Mark Steinhardt's cars back in when you first started. Like, how'd that all come together? What made you go to him?
Well, honestly, it was kind of nobody in my family was ever really into racing at all. So it's not something I grew up around, but being close to the track, I watched it a lot. And I was 22, and I was actually going to a Brewers game with some friends, and we decided to stop and watch the races in Oshkosh the day before. And Kurt Metz had this light buggy sitting there for sale, and it was a Steinhardt-built car. And I told my buddy, I'm like, you know, if I ever got into racing, that's the way to go, because a Steinhardt car is the best car. And he kind of pushed on me, and he's like, hey, let's do it. So some Monday I went to the bank, and CoVantage was kind enough to give me a loan to go buy a light buggy. So that's where it all started.
That's awesome.
And I do got to say, too, with that, you know, the first race I went to was in Bark River then that summer, and I was way out in the boonies with all the party animals, and on Saturday, here come walking Mark Steinhardt and Glenn Matthews, and they come out and seek me out and lended a, you know, gave me their hand, said, hey, you ever need anything, you let us know, we'll come over, we'll show you how to prep this car, we'll show you everything about it, and they did, you know, they stuck to their word, and everything kind of went off from there.
So you have a family that seems to grow every couple of years with a new member. I know you're involved a lot in their lives, especially with like youth sports, things like that. And you're running a business. So how do you juggle, you know, having such a busy quote unquote real life, and then you add a race team on top of that? How do you handle all that?
It's a lot. You know, I can't thank my wife enough, Lacey. She's a godsend for me. She takes care of our kids. You know, every day I go to work, and like you said, I'm running the lumberyard there, so it's nonstop with that. And our oldest son, Jackson, is 14, and he's into every sport you can possibly think of. He's playing, he has basketball tournaments yet this summer and baseball tournaments, so we're, every weekend we're not racing, we're running for those too. And Lacey just is, she's awesome. She puts everything together, and I can't say enough about my guys too that helped me out. Our crew is just awesome. We narrowed it down to one night a week. We do every Wednesday. We call it Race Shop Wednesdays, and the guys come over and they're cranking on that car. And it's incredible the help I get. Not only is it my family of my wife and kids, but our family, our race family. You know, there's a lot of parts to it. The guy can't be successful without them, that's for sure.
You're actually in really limited company, too, because if I'm remembering right, Lacey actually had a race weekend baby. She was away from, I think it was Crandon a couple of years ago, and had a baby.
Yep. Yeah, that was a little over 4 years ago now. Our middle son, Axel, we went to the hospital that Friday. And, we went down Thursday night and went through the night, no baby, and Friday morning she finally had the baby, and that was Axel was born. And we had everything was set up, all the guys set up the race stuff and that up at the track. I went up there Saturday morning, jumped in, and actually ended up sweeping the weekend. So it was one of the greatest weekends of my life, I know that.
Now that Axel is you know, that old? Does he realize how great it is to be a race weekend baby, or is it still a little bit lost on him?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he hasn't quite grasped that yet, but this year he's been a lot more. Axel's my little equipment man. The guy he's obsessed with skid steers and excavators and things like that. So when we go to the races, he likes in between the races watching equipment work. That's his thing, so.
So Tony, you talk about like pro buggy and super buggy, whatever we're going to call it from now on. We see me and Shane keep switching it back and forth, but if you win this year, say you take the points, I know it's very close. You and John Fitzgerald are going at it, but I know it takes a lot to be successful to win these races. But if you are successful in 2021, are your plans to maybe jump in a old Steinhardt buggy, super buggy, or are you happy where you're at right now?
You know, I enjoy what I'm doing right now. It's something that sustains itself, I would say. I definitely want to be in a super buggy. I don't know that I'm really looking to, even with the championship this year, I don't know if I would be looking into going right to super buggy next year, but it's in the horizon. I want to get there, but I'm going to be patient and wait till the right opportunity comes up. And, you know, really these days that to have like a Lumacraft setup is the way to go in that class. And a guy's got to be patient to find the right deal on something like that, you know?
Yeah, definitely not cheap. Definitely not just easy to jump in anything and make it work.
Right. Yeah, I'm a ultra competitive person, so I don't like to lose, and I wouldn't put myself in a situation where I felt I didn't have the best equipment to go out there to compete to win. You know, I just, something that has always been in my mind that if you're going to go do it, you better be willing to be the best at it.
So. Hey, so you mentioned before that your team, like a lot of sportsman guys, it's made up of basically family and close friends that are more or less volunteering to help. Does that give you a bunch of extra motivation knowing that you have this really tight circle of people that are so invested in you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of days where, man, it comes down to it and things get tough at home because you're doing all the racing stuff, and there's times where I'm like, man, why do I do this? Why do I put everybody through all this? But it's those people, the friends that, you know, they invest everything into me doing well. So if I win, it's a win for them too. And, you know, you start thinking about that. It's that motivation to keep driving a guy to not give up, not just half-ass things and just keep pumping at it, you know?
So Tony, what are your plans coming into this weekend? Obviously to win, but we see the points race is really, really tight, like I said, with Johnny Fitzgerald and a host of other cars that can win at any given time. Like, what's your strategy coming in? I mean, you know, the invert, it really doesn't help in certain times, you know, for certain different drivers, but I know you can come through the pack, but what are you looking forward to most about ERX?
Well, this for one, it's a really cool track. I enjoy that place. It's my favorite. Really, like, the atmosphere of it, the track itself, not just the track, but the camping, the way that place is laid out, it's one of my favorite places to go to. But you got to be aggressive there. It's a track where, if, like you said, as tight as it is, we got five guys right now within 6 points in the points race. So it's not, nobody's jumping out ahead. There's a lot of guys that can win it. And, you know, not just me and Fitz, but Parsons and Booth been really fast, and Bushinsky's hanging in there too. So to me, it's, you got to be a little more aggressive than you normally want to be, because one of them guys catches up front before you, and it's a lot of work to get around. If you got to get around all three of those guys or whatever, you know, so I would say my take on it is we're going to be overly aggressive this weekend, not put yourself in bad spots, but try to work to the front as fast as you can, you know, stick your nose in places where you probably wouldn't normally in different circumstances, but points are pretty critical at this point.
All right. Well, we'll look for you to be aggressive this weekend for rounds 5 and 6 at ERX. And again, Tony, thank you so much. Like we said, we know it's a very busy week for all drivers right now, trying to button everything up and get loaded. So we appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys. Pretty awesome that you asked me to do it. So.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, there you have it. Episode 5 with Tony Keepers. Look for him to be very, very aggressive in rounds number 5 and 6 in Elk River, Minnesota, Shane. It's been one heck of a year so far. I'm excited to get the season back underway again at ERX.
Yeah, we're only a third of the way through it. A lot of great racing yet to go. But like you said, thanks again to both of our guests, Tony Keepers from 1600 Buggy and Mike Hester, the man with 100 career wins now, finally coming out of Super Buggy. And we will have another episode for you of the Amsoil Championship Off-Road Podcast very soon. We'll have another one out yet before ERX, before rounds 5 and 6. So look for that as well. And for Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.